Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to singer Brenda Nicole Moorer about her new album, Brave New Heart, and performing at this weekend's Atlanta Jazz Festival. Actress Jade Fernandez talks about starring in the theatrical production of La Granja at Marietta's new Theater in the Square. And filmmaker Will Lowry opens up about his new project, Against the Grain, which follows several African-American golfers competing for a seat on the PGA Tour. We'll also be playing music from artists appearing at this weekend's Atlanta Jazz Festival in Piedmont Park. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for extras for the pilot, The Passage. The show is looking for men and women over the age of 18 to portray cops, military doctors, nurses, and prisoners. The actors must be fit and in good condition, comfortable in makeup and fake blood. If you fit the above description, send an email with your name, phone number, height, weight, size, and current photo to passage@centralcasting.com. In theaters this weekend, Baywatch, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Zac Efron. The movie is based on the popular 90s TV series and follows devoted lifeguard Mitch Buchanan as he butts heads with a brash new recruit. Together, they uncover a local criminal plot that threatens the future of the Bay. In other related entertainment news, comedian and actress Leslie Jones will host this year's BET Awards, airing live on Sunday, June 25th at 8 p.m. This is Jones' first time hosting a major award show and will join a long list of stand-up comics who have hosted the ceremony in the past, including Chris Rock, Monique, Kevin Hart, and Chris Tucker. Check out WCLK.com for a full list of this year's nominees. Actress Crystal Fox from Tyler Perry's The Haves and the Have-Nots is hosting Dance for Diversity on Saturday, June 24th from noon until 7 p.m. at Adair Park. The event is presented by Act to Impact Global and will feature dancing, music, reading to children, and book distribution. The event is also open to the public. Check out WCLK.com for more information. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Let's go, hurry along, the music's almost starting. Rhythmic beats are reaching out to me. Bring the blanket and grab the picnic basket. Just can't wait to get down the street to Jazz at Piedmont Park. Oh, every day I could hear some jazz at Piedmont Park. Every day I could hear some jazz at Piedmont Park.
My first guest is Jade Fernandez, star of Marietta's new Theater in the Square production of Carmen Rivera's comedy, La Granja. It is the longest-running Spanish-language play in off-Broadway history and follows Maria Elena Garcia as she travels to Puerto Rico to find out that her extended family doesn't welcome her with open arms. Upfront talked exclusively to Fernandez about the show and how her own real-life experiences prepared her for the role. Well, good morning, Jade Fernandez, and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm super excited to be talking to you. You are starring in the, the Marietta's New Theater in the Square production of La Granja, which is currently running now through June the 4th. And exciting show. This is a comedy.
It is.
So let's talk a little bit about your character, Maria Elena Garcia.
All righty. So Maria Elena is a young woman. She's 22. She grew up in New York, and both of her parents are Puerto Rican. And she decides to visit her Puerto Rican family in Puerto Rico around New Year's to discover her roots. And the story is essentially about her journey with identity, because in New York, she feels really Puerto Rican. But then when she gets to Puerto Rico, she unfortunately is rejected by Puerto Ricans. They say, well, some of them, I should say, you know, say you're a gringa, you're not Puerto Rican, you're not from here, you don't even speak Spanish. And her parents didn't teach her Spanish. She had to learn it in school. And it's she's a really relatable character if, you know, you have parents who are from another country or if you're kind of like in between cultures.
Right. Now, how did you, first of all, how did you learn about this role and then how did you prepare for it?
So I had actually signed up for a subscription to Backstage, the casting website. And I was sent a message from Emil about auditions for the upcoming season, which included La Gringa. And it said to prepare a monologue. So I actually found a monologue from the play Real Women Have Curves, which is also a movie.
Okay.
And it, you know, kind of similar about another girl who is Latina, who, you know, kind of figures out her identity in the United States and within her culture.
Okay. And then how did you prepare for it? Because is this, let me go ahead and ask, is this a story that you're, you know, a little familiar with? Like, have you ever experienced this yourself?
Oh, absolutely. So, reading the description of Maria was, I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. And even the lady who, my friend Denise, who plays my aunt, we've actually worked together before, and she said that when she read the description, she also thought of me.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool. And so, you know, my father's Cuban and my mom is half Puerto Rican. And so, you know, kind of like my whole life, I've been in between cultures myself.
Okay.
And so I, similarly to Maria, you know, I went to Cuba for 2 weeks in 2013 to discover my roots. I went and visited family and fortunately had a better reaction than Maria. You know, it was hugely validating to go there and, you know, for Cuban people to look at me and be like, you're Cuban, you're one of us, you know?
Yeah.
And whereas here in the States, you know, everyone has always asked me, like, what are you? You know, you're really tan. I don't know what you are.
Right.
I'm a person.
So, Jade, how much of this show is similar to the New York show or the original show that was on Broadway?
We're doing the same script as the New York show, so it should be pretty much the same. The only thing that would be different is the art direction, so like what the stage looks like and our costumes.
Yeah. Now, we actually covered Native Son and had an opportunity to talk to Emil. I had a chance to check out that show, and so I know that he's extremely, extremely talented in terms of being a director. So what was it like working with him for this particular production?
So working with Emil has been really great. Since auditions, where he led us through a series of, you know, Laban exercises and improvised scenes, I left the audition, like, not caring whether or not I got the role, just feeling like, wow, I really enjoyed that experience. And similarly, rehearsals have been, really playful. You know, he has a bit of a hands-off approach when it comes to blocking. So like where we move on stage, I guess just make it feel most natural.
Okay.
But he really, you know, pushed us to kind of like get to the point of the scene, like what's really going on, you know, when things weren't quite landing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what are some of the, because, you know, the show is basically about Maria finding herself and finding her identity. So what are some of the lessons that the audience will learn from this character through this show?
Well, I think that a big lesson is that you can always find humor in every situation. It is a comedy. So even in the really emotional parts, there's always something to laugh at.
Right.
I think as well, just the importance of family and the importance of, you know, that bond, whether, you know, it doesn't matter where you are geographically, but, you know, if you're related and if you have that same blood, you're able to put things aside, whatever you're mad about, you know. And as far as identity goes, you know, she learns a lot from her tío Manolo. She learns that it's your essence, like who you really are, is deeper than, you know, speaking a language or learning about something or the history of something. It's just about connecting with that part of yourself, with that part of your soul, and not being afraid to do that or to take risks.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again. We're so excited about the show. We're talking to Jade Fernandez, actress and starring in Marietta's New Theater in the Square production of La Gringa, which is playing now through June the 4th. And again, congratulations. Ticket information is available at theaterinthesquare.net. And hopefully I'll be able to come out and check out this show. Like I mentioned earlier in the interview, had a chance to see Native Son, and you guys do great work out there. So looking forward to checking out this show.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Love, it's gonna be all right. I know it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right with you. I know I'll be okay. It's gonna be all right. I know it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right with you. I know I'll be okay.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My next guest is professional golfer and filmmaker Will Lowry. He has a new documentary titled Against the Grain that follows the journey of golf's next generation of minority superstars, from their struggles on the mini tours to their triumphs on the grandest stage, the PGA Tour. Upfront caught up with Will to chat about his passion project and why this film will hopefully change the face of golf forever. Well, good morning, Will, and welcome to Upfront. How are you this Memorial Day weekend?
I'm doing pretty good. No complaints. About to get out to the golf course and get some practice in, so I'm not complaining at all.
So we're really excited to be talking to you about your new film, Against the Grain. Had an opportunity to check that out, and man, I was so amazed. I didn't realize that there was, well, no, let me take that back. There's always been an interest in golf within the African-American community, but I really didn't understand how big the challenges were to try to get a PGA Tour card. I didn't realize that that was like a really, really big challenge. So before we go into that, let's start from the very beginning. How did you get involved with the game of golf?
Well, I mean, it's funny. I was a huge tennis player growing up as a kid, but you know, I played golf a lot with my dad on Saturday mornings with the guys, and you know, it was just a hobby. But when I turned probably 23, I used to play with the guys on Saturday, take their money. You know, we do a little Saturday morning gambling. Okay. And there was a particular individual that said, hey, man, if you take this seriously, you might can do this profession for a living. And instead of taking my money on Saturday. So, you know, he put me into a professional tournament, and I never forget, it was down in Florida. I want to say Sebring, Florida.
Okay.
And, you know, he paid for my entry fee and paid for my travel. And he said, I just want to see how you do. And lo and behold, I finished tied for fifth, and I made the biggest check I've ever seen in my life, which was $9,000. And I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah. Now, at what point did you realize that, you know, you weren't alone in this pursuit to try to, you know, attain a PGA Tour card or to be on the tour like Tiger Woods? At what point did you realize that, wow, this may be something that is, you know, great subject matter for a film? And then you pull in these other guys who have this same hunger and drive to want to be on this tour. At what point did you realize that this is subject matter for a film?
Well, I think well, when I was on the reality TV show Big Break that aired on the Golf Channel,
okay,
I had an ample amount of emails from kids, from adults who pretty much came from the disadvantaged neighborhood that I came from, and they were, you know, adamant about saying, hey man, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be watching the show. I never knew that there were black golfers out there. You know, you have the dreadlocks. and you're on television playing golf from my neighborhood, so to speak. And I just thought that was, it was mind-blowing to me. And the fact is that, you know, obviously these kids are somewhat taking an interest in playing golf, but they may not have the means or the opportunity or avenue to even have to be introduced to the game. So, you know, with me being on the show, and it showed me so many different ways of having access, of having possibility to play the game, I'm like, well, shoot, I want to see how can I get this game out there for the guys who may not have an opportunity to see it.
Right. Wow. So being on that show, how much of an influence did that have on you producing Against the Grain?
Well, like I said, it was a major influence because it showed that I believe that Against the Grain has the opportunity to link cultures, different cultures together.
Right.
You know, when you see people who are outside of, I guess, African-American race or what have you, and they want to know, how exactly did you come in the game of golf? They look at you from head to toe, and they ask the question, you know, I call it the flip effect. They ask the question of, how exactly did you become a professional golfer? And, you know, and that journey is quite different, you know. And the image of a professional golfer, you know, one would think come from a traditional country club and, you know, from a background that's pretty much wealthy to a certain extent. You know, I believe that, you know, there's a story that can be told, and there were other black golfers who were on the same show that I was on, but different seasons. And I figured that we just need to come together and try to get the story told.
Okay. So are some of the golfers that are involved in Against the Grain were also on the show?
Yeah, they're also on a different season of Big Break.
Okay. Now, in your press release, you mentioned that this is really not a film for golf lovers, but for the have-nots. Explain that to the upfront audience.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking that I know for sure that it's not of the have-nots. It's about the journey of individuals who are trying to penetrate a particular arena that has high barriers to entry. And I believe everyone across the world can pretty much identify with that.
Yeah.
You know, from other sports or from a corporate aspect, you know, trying to get to something that you're not really suited for or equipped in the beginning, and you see the end from the beginning, and trying to get into that particular area with not equipped with the right armor, but you still have the faith of must see to keep going.
Right. Out of all of the gentlemen outside of yourself, we're going to take you out of the equation, but who do you think has the most compelling story?
One of my good friends, Christian Heaven. He is from Ferguson, actually. He's from Ferguson. He was highly involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. And the thing about it, he can go and protest and be part of the Black Lives Matter movement and stand for a great cause, but he also can hit a golf ball like nobody else, you know. I think Doug Smith and Keith Early, who have a great story as well. You know, they come from a background to where, you know, they just did a traditional job, you know, just 9 to 5, and they're stepping out on faith to pursue something that they saw in their dreams when they were a young kid, of walking in between the ropes of a PGA Tour event. And so, I mean, I think a lot of different characters that we have are kind of all across different platforms that the viewer or the audience can develop a heartstring with.
Okay. We're talking to filmmaker and professional golfer Will Lowry. So tell our audience, where are you with the project's development right now? Because last conversation that you and I had, where it's, you're getting it out there, you're pitching it, but where are we in the process of getting this in front of a larger audience?
Yeah, we're definitely trying to look for funding to keep the project going forward. We have some talks with different networks who are taking a major interest in wanting to get, you know, partner up, but you know, we're just, I'm not trying to reveal too much, but we're trying to I guess take the necessary proper protocols to get the project going and full effect.
All right. Well, thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedule. It's crazy. You and I met at the Kenny Leon Gala last weekend, and here we are. I've got you on the show. I was so compelled by your story, and then seeing the trailer and just thinking, you know, again to myself, how this will inspire so many young people. I was like, yeah, we definitely want to have this on the show. And I think it's definitely one of those sports that sometimes is not top of mind when you think of sports that we want to pursue or sports that most of us are involved in. But to be able to see, like you said, a brother with dreads out there playing golf is definitely inspiring. So I wanted our audience to know about this film, and I wish you much success on this and all of your other future endeavors.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, man.
Go to WCLK.com and watch the trailer for Against the Grain.
Hi, Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray.
I can feel the open air. I can feel the open wave start flowing over me. In a box glowing bright, there's a light starts to cover me. Reimagine parts of me, catching glimpses of what life could be. Ooh, 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 ooh. Parts of me begin to change. Ooh.
That was the voice of my last guest, Brenda Nicole Moorer. The Atlanta-based singer, actress, and photographer will be performing music from her new album tomorrow afternoon on the Next Generation stage at the Atlanta Jazz Festival. Upfront caught up with Brenda to chat about her music, the highly anticipated performance, and the advice she received from mentor and friend, Kenny Leon.
Well, good morning, Brenda Nicole Moorer, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. This is amazing. Really amazing. Really amazing. So you're performing tomorrow as part of the New Generation stage at the Atlanta Jazz Festival. This is the festival that is in full swing this weekend, and you're a part of that. You're performing tomorrow.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, let's talk about this amazing journey to this point, because you have sort of been kind of in the background, but kind of sort of not in the background for those that may not know your name or never heard of you. But you've sort of been a behind the scenes person in the arts and entertainment industry here in Atlanta. But now you're sort of emerging as your own star. So let's talk a little bit about that, because we've actually been working
together
for quite some time. As you're working over at our friends over at True Colors Theater Company, Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company.
Yeah.
And I just had fun at the amazing gala.
It was amazing. Best one yet.
Yeah. And so been working with you in terms of sort of in the marketing area of the theater, but now you're sort of, like I said, emerging as your own star. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's really funny because I kind of feel like I live two different lives. And at the gala, Kathleen Bertrand actually came up to me and she was like, I heard, you know, that you're doing this too. And she's like, we should sit down and talk, because I also live a double life. So it's like there's artist Brenda and then there's like business Brenda. But yeah, it's been this way for a while. I've come up in music and theater my whole life. I was originally part of the Youth Ensemble of Atlanta with Freddie Hendrix.
Oh, YEA. So,
YEA in the house all the way. So that's my fam, my crew that I've come up with. I've worked with everyone, honestly. I've been on the Atlanta scene since I was like 13, 14, singing in clubs. I was way too young to be singing in. So I've worked, I've been singing with Masiki Scales and Common Ground Collective for 10 years. I've been singing with Kyrie Cabral Simmons for almost 10 years. I'm on all of their albums for the most part. Heston, Anthony David, like Algebra, all of those folks. I'm in the, you know, circle of folks with them.
Yeah.
And then I also do arts marketing. So I've worked with theaters for the last 10 years professionally on the business side, theater and music. Because when I was in New York, I worked for the New York Philharmonic. But I do both things, and it's an interesting thing to merge them together, because not many people do both. And it's confusing for some people. They're like, well, no, which one do you really do? Yeah. Like, no, I do. I legitimately do both.
Yeah. No, it's funny because I'm sort of in the same position. I mean, I'm the sales rep here for WCLK from 9 to 5 is what I say. And then after that, I become, you know, this celebrity blogger, and then I've got the show. So a lot of times people are like, well, who am I talking? Am I talking to Ray, the salesperson, or am I talking to Ray, the host, or am I talking to Ray, you know, the blogger? So sometimes you just kind of, you know, kind of got to do what you got to do until, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, my ultimate goal is just to be a full-time artist. But I also have a passion for the arts, arts advocacy, just making sure people's stories and art stories get told. So that's where I was like, if I'm going to work a day job, I've got to at least do something I'm still passionate about. So right. I've been really fortunate to be able to do that, and especially work for a company like Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater is amazing.
Yeah.
And then they're super supportive of helping me with my career and pushing things forward for me too. So that's a blessing, because that doesn't happen all the time. And before that, yeah, there's New York Philharmonic. And then before that was Center for Puppetry Arts. And that family was also super supportive. And I consider all these organizations I've worked for my family, because they really are. You spend so much time together working for a nonprofit. It's like, it literally becomes part of your identity, part of your life. So yeah, when people see me out, they don't know if they're seeing me as Brenda for True Colors or Brenda the artist. So it's confusing. But yeah, the ultimate goal is for me to do music full time and theater and film. And that's my purpose, I think, in life. Yeah.
Now you've got this new project, Brand New Heart, which is a continuation from an EP. But this has sort of been something that's been 3 years in the making.
Yeah.
And you actually sort of recorded this not only in Atlanta, but also in New York City. Let's talk about that as well.
Yeah. So I actually moved to New York and I was there for a year. And during that time, I started recording the album there. I actually met the producer that I work with, Jesse Fisher. He's amazing. Super amazing producer, a keyboardist out of Brooklyn. And I actually met him because Little John Roberts helped me kind of with my first album. And he used to host this kind of jam session thing. And he had me and Jesse Fisher there on the same bill. And that's where I met Jesse Fisher. So I honestly can like attribute all this to Little John. Thanks, Little John.
Yeah.
So from there, I moved to New York and started working on the album. Then I came back here and continued working on the album and just was going back and forth. So I have a band in New York that's led by Jesse Fisher, and a band here in Atlanta that's led by Kenny Banks Jr. And yeah, we collab in this really nice Atlanta Brooklyn exchange.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so are we gonna hear like this dual sound? Because, you know, living in Atlanta, we have our own, you know, southern style and southern way of doing things, and then when you go to New York, everything is so fast paced. And so, you know, so are we gonna hear this duality to the, the album?
For sure. It's so funny because every time, so I wrote a lot of this stuff here and then it ended up going back to New York, and Jesse would be like, man, that's so Atlanta. But the band would be like, what do you mean that's so Atlanta? Yeah. But it's really, it's a real thing. Like Atlanta has a sound. So yes, some of that is on there. And then there's some of this like kind of really crazy futuristic, very eclectic kind of sounding things that Jesse brought to it from his New Yorkness.
Now, your voice has sort of been compared to the likes of Corinne Bailey Rae and Minnie Riperton. How do you feel about when you hear stuff like that?
It's kind of amazing and surreal, honestly, to just be compared to anyone that I think is amazing. Yeah. So I'm super appreciative of it. I'm still, as an artist, growing and figuring stuff out. I'm sure as they are too. Any artist, I probably would say the same thing. So yeah, it's just an honor to do that. And when Corinne Bailey Rae first came out, I honestly was so excited because I play guitar and have been like doing this folky, very Ani DiFranco, Fiona Apple kind of thing is what my original music was. And when I was younger, labels had no idea what to do with me, like pre-Corinne Bailey Ray. I was with the label, and then I was supposed to be like the Black Kylie Minogue out of the UK. Okay. I'm serious. I was like signed with the label over there. We put out a song called Shy Boy. It went to like number two overseas, and that was supposed to be it. They were pushing me to be that. But that was only because they didn't know that something else existed until Corinne Bailey Ray came out. And then it was like, yeah, Black girls can sing and play guitar and do this kind of music that's not really categorized as folk, but is soul and jazzy. And like Corinne Bailey Ray plays jazz festivals, but she also can play like things that are pop festivals and can't really be categorized. So yeah, until her, she kind of like, for my generation, broke the mold on that. So when she came out, I was super excited. I was like, oh my God, now look, it can be done. It can be done and people like it. So it's an honor. Hopefully I get to work with her one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're performing tomorrow at the Atlanta Jazz Festival, 4:30 p.m. at the Next Generation stage. How exciting is that?
Listen, I'm still kind of in disbelief, honestly. I'm so thankful to Camille Love for making it happen. The band is super excited. It's just a dream come true, honestly, because I've been on this stage before singing with Masiki and Julie and, you know, all these bands before, but to have my own show, I have a whole hour.
Yeah.
And that I'm on the Next Generation stage, as in Atlanta is thinking of me in that way, is mind-blowing, honestly. It really is.
So what can fans, I know you don't want to give everything away, but what can fans expect during this performance?
I think that if they have the new album, Brand New Heart, that you will be pleasantly surprised to hear how these songs come to life in a live concert, which to me, a live concert is different from what happens in the studio.
Yeah. I want to go back to, as we mentioned at the top of the interview, that you have continued working with Chameleon and True Colors Theater Company. Amazing theater company, by the way.
So awesome, yeah.
What is one of the biggest lessons that you may have learned from Kenny?
Oh, it's so funny because I actually had a whole conversation with him the other day, and he was saying that older people, as they get older, what they want to do is just guide the young. So he said youth is wasted on the young. You know, that's an old adage. This is true. I think the best thing that he told me was to take leaps. Don't be scared. Take bigger steps. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much, Brenda, for stopping by the Upfront Studios.
Thank you.
This has been amazing. We're super excited about the performance tomorrow. This is Brenda Nicole Moore. She will be performing as part of the Atlanta Jazz Festival on the Next Generation stage. That is at 4:30 p.m., one full hour. You'll be able to hear all of her music from Brand New Heart, which is her current album. And we're excited. I'll be there. I'll be there taking pictures.
Yes. Thank you.
So super excited for you and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my guests, Jade Fernandez, Will Lowry, and Brenda Nicole Moore. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, June 3rd at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.